testing. Good morning, Life Change. Guess what?
What?
You're not going to believe it. He's risen!
He's risen indeed.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! He is risen!
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Oh, just thank you all for being here today to celebrate with us, and happy Resurrection Day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, I'm not going to bore you anymore. We're going to jump right into worship and singing because we should on a day like today. Mm-hmm. So if you guys would like to stand up, we'll get right into it.
Is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing ye hymns and earth reply, glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. Dying once, ye all the same, alleluia. Where thy victory, O grave, alleluia. He is not dead.
Rock.
sun was darkened and the heavens thundered, and for a moment death had thought it conquered, but it wasn't over till you said, it's over, your word is greater still. The perfect sacrifice, your body broken, as you restored to us what sin had stolen. Once and for all, you tore the veil wide open. Your power is stronger still. All praise to the name above all names. Jesus, you reign. You're the name above all.
Hallelujah. Every
voice will proclaim there is no higher name. Hallelujah. Age to age we will sing all praise, all praise to the name above all names. Jesus, you reign. Above all names, you're the name above all names, you're the name above all names.
Hallelujah.
Name above all names.
Hallelujah.
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. My life brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls the sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There is nothing stronger or the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls the sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. light. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Were you there when they laid
We're going to take our Lord's Supper at this time. So if you don't have elements that have been given to you and passed out, if you would just raise your hand, then we have some ladies who are going to be giving that to you. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he met with his disciples. And Jesus said, I've been looking forward to this time that I can meet with you because there's something very important I need to share with you. And so whenever they were having the Passover meal, we call it the Last Supper that he would have with his disciples before we get to visit him in heaven, he said, I have a new covenant. The covenant has to do with my body. The covenant has to do with my blood. The covenant has to do with the shedding of my blood. Now, they didn't understand that at the time. But what Jesus was preparing them for and preparing us for was the new covenant that we enter into when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And so when he was standing with his disciples or seated with his disciples, he took some bread. And he broke it. It was unleavened bread. And so if you'll take your bread out, there's a cellophane top on it. And if you're not careful, you will not get it correct. And you'll spill juice on you. So he had the bread and he broke it with the disciples and he gave it to each one. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he blessed the bread. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that from the beginning of time, you had this covenant in place. Lord, only now do we recognize that this was your idea from the beginning of time. And that Jesus was to be our sacrifice. So Lord, I pray that you'd bless this bread. Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you, and I picture Jesus being broken through the scourging, through the hitting, through the spears, through everything that he experienced, the crown of thorns, Lord, he was broken for us. And Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you, take and eat. And so, Lord, we receive this body that you've given to us, we receive the gift that you've given to us. And everything that is involved with that, all of the blessings, we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. And then he took the juice. And he said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. And we find in other scriptures that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so what Jesus wanted to do was remove our sins from us. And he was telling the disciples, this is my blood. I am the Lamb. I am the chosen one from God, of God Almighty, to shed my blood for you. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for the blood that you shed for us. Lord, we can't even imagine the pain and the suffering that you went through. But, Lord, you did it for us. And so, Lord, because of your sacrifice, we receive your gift. And everything that it applies to our life, we receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. How marvelous you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Many people have asked me how I'm doing. I don't even know how to answer them. They took my son in the middle of the night, put him on trial unlawfully, and then handed him over to the Romans to be beaten and tortured and hung on a cross. My heart is shattered. And my mind is untethered. My feelings are thrashing about in my chest like a bird in a locked cage. I so wanted to take his place. My sweet, young, loving, vibrant son. His life cut short because of someone else's anger, jealousy, and pride. Why? How am I doing? Not well. All I can see is his face, his eyes looking at me with complete trust. When I close my eyes, I can feel his little body. I can smell his sweet scent. I can feel his heartbeat. Faithful service is done and accomplished one day at a time. Sometimes one moment at a time. For me in this moment, it's one breath at a time. Because of that, I will calm my wild feelings. I'll gather my scattered thoughts and ever so slowly pick up the pieces of my broken heart. And I will remember the good. I will remember the lessons. It was after feeding the 5,000, they had found him again. The crowd always found him. And they were asking for another sign, another miracle. They wanted to be fed like Moshe fed our ancestors in the wilderness. I remembered what Moshe said. Adonai has humbled you and allowed you to be hungry that he might feed you manna that neither you nor your ancestors know, so that you might understand that man does not live on food alone, but on everything that comes from the mouth of Adonai. My son, he responded to them by saying,
I am the bread of which is life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty.
It's things like that that I ponder. I know that they're a piece of a puzzle that's right in front of me. I just can't see it yet. There was a time he was teaching in the temple, and the Torah teachers and the Prushim drug this woman in and threw her at his feet. He knelt down and wrote something in the sand while they told him that they had caught her in the very act of adultery. They knew what should happen, yet they still asked him, what do you say we should do? That's when he stood, he looked at them, and he said, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. They went silent. And one by one, oldest to youngest, they turned and left without a word. Then he turned to her and said, who's left to accuse you? She said, no one. He said, I don't either, and you're forgiven. But he also said,
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives the life.
That sounded a lot like what Isaiah had said, that it is not enough that you are merely my servant to rise up the tribe of Jacob or to restore the offspring of Israel, but I will make you a light unto the nations so that my salvation can be shared to the ends of the earth. Don't get me wrong. I love all of my children with all of my heart, but your first one is special. They make you a mother. And he, well, he was the light of my life. I knew that someday I would have to share him with our people and eventually the world, but not like this. The Messiah is to rule, to conquer, to bring shalom, not die. For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on you. I depend on you for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Where the Spirit leads, as I'm following, I depend on you. I depend on you for the victories still in front of me. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. When I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on you. I depend on you for eternal life, to be raised with Christ. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Yeshua had been the center of many conflicts. I should have seen it coming, but I didn't. From the beginning, when the angel told me of his conception, I had placed my life and my trust in Adonai's hands, knowing that everything would be as it should be. But this is what should be? Do you remember the blind man that he healed on Shabbat with the clay? He had been summoned back to the temple twice by the Prashim to be questioned about his healing. The second time, they brought his mother and father in as well, but they were afraid and they said, "He is of age, let him answer for himself." Answer he did. He had chutzpah. He told them that only a man from God could do what he did. Oh, they were so angry. They thrust him out. Yeshua found him. And not long after that, he started talking about sheep gates and thieves and shepherds and sheep.
Yes, indeed, I tell you that I am the gate for the sheep.
He not only referred to himself as the gate, but he also said,
"I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
I wondered if the Prashim had thought of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel said that Adonai said to them, "I will judge between the fat sheep and the thin sheep. Because you have pushed them with your flanks and with your shoulders, because you've butted them, the weak ones, with your horns and scattered them in every direction, I will save my flock. I will judge between sheep and sheep and send a shepherd who will take charge and let them feed." Do you think the Prashim realize that they're the fat sheep? That they're the bullies? They're the ones that have been pushing and shoving and butting all these years, always taking but never giving? Do you think that they realize that that's why they flocked to Yeshua? They wanted to be fed, to be tended, to be healed, which he did. But they never gave him their hearts. Yeshua had done many unexpected things over the last 3 years, but the last Seder was different. There was a somberness, an urgency to everything that he said and did.
"I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
He told them about going and preparing a place for them. They were confused. They didn't understand, and they questioned him like children. I'm not sure I understand, but I am sure that Peter was the loudest. He talked of trust and of commandments, of shalom and the Ruach HaKodesh. He talked of vines and gardeners.
"I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit."
How do the way, the truth, and the life, and the true vine, how do they connect? What piece of the puzzle am I still missing? They must go together somehow. And the pruning, is that what this is?
Oh, to see the dawn darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the path of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame.
Happened at Bethany would open their eyes and pierce the hardness that encased their hearts. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. There were several witnesses to that fact. Do you remember what he said?
I am, the resurrection, and the life. Whoever puts his trust in me will live, even if he dies. Anyone living and trusting in me will never die.
We believe that the soul stays near the body for 3 days, but four? Lazarus was beyond help. He was beyond hope. But we all saw what happened. Yeshua called. And Lazarus came. He came. He still had the linens on his hands, the cloth on his face. Evidence of life after death. I knew then that nothing would stop him, that nothing would defeat him. The Messiah had come. What did I miss? Yeshua had used 7 I am statements. He had to have known the uproar that would cause. He knew what those 2 words mean to our people. They were given to Moshe in the desert so that the children of Israel would know who sent him, would know who he spoke for. He had to have known what those 2 words would proclaim. And proclaim he did, not with guile or malice, but with a confidence that was not born of pride. I am certain that those 7 statements is what drove the Torah teachers and the Pershim to do what they did. But those 7 declarations is what gives me comfort and hope today. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the gate the sheep can go through. He is the good shepherd. He is the true vine. And he is the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Thank you, Laura. That was an awesome job. I appreciate that so much. And the worship team, every week, the Lord just moves in you and through you, and I appreciate you so very much. Thank you so very much. I've been asked to sing a song, He's Alive.
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. A gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, as she told us where she had been. She said they moved him in the night. None of us know where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary had said. But the winding sheet they had wrapped him in was just an empty shell. Our where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't take me very far, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from them like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He's alive, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And no one else can make that statement. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I want to talk to you just real briefly about Jesus being the life. Did you know that he's the one who gave you physical life? He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living being. You were birthed into this earth, and then he breathed into you, but he also wants to breathe into your spirit. So when he's talking about he is the resurrection and the life, not only is he talking about the physical life, but he's also talking about the spiritual life. He wants to breathe into you spiritual life, because scripture says that all of us are dead before we meet Jesus. Every one of us have a spirit that's dead. It's not connected to God. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, it comes alive. Paul writes it this way. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Did you know that he took your sins away? In the New Testament times, when the Romans were crucifying individuals, what they would do, they would take a papyrus or they would take a parchment and they would write on the parchment or papyrus the crimes that this individual had done, and they would nail it to the cross. So when they came to Jesus, there was no crime that they could come up with. And Pilate said, King of the Jews, was his crime. He was King of the Jews. And what this passage of Scripture is telling us is that when Jesus died, he took your sins and he nailed it to the cross with him. Your sins. So if I were to give you a booklet today, maybe a notebook or a composition book, and you started writing all your sins that you'd ever committed, one by one, and God remind you of all of those things, and you start writing them, and you fill a page and two pages and three composition books. Every one of those sins, Jesus nailed to the cross with him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And not only that, Jesus wants to give us a life abundant. In John 10:10, I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Here's the thing I found about walking with Jesus. With Jesus, there's hope. With Jesus, there's peace. With Jesus, there's purpose. With Jesus, there's joy. With Jesus, there's fulfillment. With Jesus, there's fellowship like I've never experienced before. That is the abundant life that God has for you when you receive Jesus. It's not in, the abundant life is not in the amount of material possessions that we have. It's in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the resurrection is all about. A third thing that Jesus wants to give us, he wants to give us eternal life. You're familiar with this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes him in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How long is everlasting? Forever. So there's a picture up here of a bird. This is a woodcock. It's the slowest flying bird in the world. In migration, it will fly between 16 and 28 miles an hour, but there was a species of bird that was clocked at 5 miles an hour, and this is the species. So let's imagine that this woodcock is flying at 5 miles an hour will go to the moon and deposit a grain of sand from the earth to the moon. Let's just say it's a long-living woodcock. Okay, let's just imagine that his lifespan is very large. It's 238,900 miles to the moon. And I figured it up. It would take him 5.5 years to fly from the earth to the moon. And then 5.5 more years to get back. So 11 years to go to the moon and back. And let's just say that every time he made a trip, he would pick up a grain of sand and he would deposit it on the moon. I am 66 years old. From the time I was born, and let's just say this woodcock started when I was born, he would have made three trips. Three trips. Or is that six trips? That's six trips. I had it written, but I need an accountant. Uh, I'm not 33. I may look it, but anyway. So here's the thing. By the time it took this woodcock to go from the moon and back, from the earth to the moon and back, and deposited every grain of sand that was on the earth onto the moon, eternity would just have begun. That's how long eternity is. Jesus said, I am the resurrection life. And when we speak of resurrection life, we're talking about a time in the future which we will eventually, those who know Jesus will receive, and will receive a new body. Jesus received a new body. When he rose from the dead, he received a new body. He received a glorified body. One day, we as believers will receive a glorified body. There's a lot of passages of Scripture that we could go to. I'm not going to go to all of them. But I do want to bring to your attention three of these passages. Was found in John 11, 25, and 26. And Laura has already mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then this is a question that Jesus, actually a statement that Jesus made to Mary. And he said, then he asked her, do you believe this? And she affirmed, yes, she believed it. But I have a question for you. Do you believe this? I think that's a question for all of us. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he can give you life abundant now? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he can give you a more abundant life than any of the toys that you have? Do you believe that? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection life? That was the question that he asked Mary. Another passage of Scripture is found in John 6, 38 through 40. We're going to just read verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me. This is the will of God who sent Jesus, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Say everlasting life. And he said, I will raise him up on the last day. If you don't believe he's the resurrection life, and if you never received him as the resurrection life, and you've never received him as your life, then you do not have resurrection life. You are dead, as Scripture says. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Why would the dead in Christ rise first? Because they're 6 feet below us, right? So they have to rise first. And then those which will remain, who remain, will be caught up with them in the air. So we kind of go all together. But they have to start, you know, let's just say some are buried in the sea. They have to get a head start, right? So those who are dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's resurrection life. When we get our new bodies, aren't you about ready for your new body? I'm about ready for my new body. It's not as sharp and as quick as it used to be. We were playing softball a few years ago, and my mind thought I was still as young as I was several years ago. And a ball was hit to me, and man, I went after it, and my upper body went faster than my lower body. And I face planted, man. Everybody had an enjoyable laugh about that. Didn't you, Matt? We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a resurrected body. We're going to live forever with Jesus in heaven. So here's what I want us to do in closing. I want you to spend just a few minutes thanking him for nailing your sins to the cross. those compositions of sins. Thank him. Just start thanking him right now. Lord, thank you. And Lord, thank you for nailing the shame and the guilt that goes along with that to the cross. Lord, thank you for nailing the fear to the cross. Lord, thank you for nailing even the sinful thoughts that I've had to the cross. Thank you for nailing the anger and the bitterness that I've carried so long to the cross. Lord, thank you for nailing the lustful thoughts, nailing the sinful desires, nailing all of those things to the cross. Lord, we thank you for nailing that to the cross. Lord, thank you for paying our debt. Thank you for paying the debt of sin, for being punished for me. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for loving me like you did. Thank you for giving me life and you taking upon yourself the punishment of death. Thank you, Lord Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. Today, if you're here without Christ, the Lord wants to give you life. He wants to give you abundant life. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you resurrection life. But the only way he can do that is if you confess your sins and ask him to forgive you for those sins, and then put your faith in Jesus Christ. He was placed upon a cross for your benefit. But the only way you will receive that benefit is if you'll receive him. Jesus is the gift. These other things are just extra. Jesus is the gift. If you're here today and you want Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand? I want to lead you in a prayer. Anyone here? Okay, thank you. All right, fantastic. Fantastic. And so, church, I'm going to ask that you pray with these that has raised their hands, okay? Pray out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you. And I recognize that you paid my debt, that my sins were nailed to the cross. And I thank you. You paid the debt. You were punished for my sin. I know that you're the Son of God. I know that you died for me. Forgive me of my sins. I place my trust in you and in you alone, not in my good works, but in your good works. I give you praise and glory and honor. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and give me your life. Give me life abundant. Give me eternal life. And give me resurrected life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward, and we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And sometimes the Lord is dealing with you about other things other than what we mentioned, even in our sermon today. But you have, and so I'm going to be at the front to welcome you. I'm going to pray with you if you need that. But if you've made that decision maybe for the first time or just can cement it in your heart this morning, then I'm going to invite you to come share that with me. Scripture says that we need to tell each other when that happens. And so would you come and tell that to me? Let's stand as together as we sing.
I am forgiven because you have forsaken. I am accepted. You were condemned. On the fire as well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
I'm forgiven.
I am forgiven because you were forsaken. I am accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Made love, how can it be?
You, my King, would die for me. Made love, it's true. And it's my joy to honor you. I honor you. You who are my King. You are my King, Jesus, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. It's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. This is my desire.
My heart, I give. my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
This is Terry, and he prayed receive Christ today.
Amen.
You are my brother, and I love you.
I love you too.
So you be praying for Terry, okay? You be praying for Terry. So God bless you. Okay.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up.
The Lord lift up.
His countenance.
His countenance.
On thee and give thee peace.
God bless you all. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
I've got my music spread.